I'm going to give a little bit of a kind of history of my metta practice, you might say. I'm going to start off with a couple of stories. So the first story is quite an amazing story. I only heard it a couple of weeks ago on a community retreat at Adistana. And it goes like this. Some of you will have heard it probably, but it involves a car crash and it involves some people waiting in a car. I think the main character of the story is Anjali, Dhammacharini Anjali, who's died now. But this was in England. There was some car crash somewhere, and she and some others were in the car, held up by the car crash up ahead. And Anjali probably said, oh, let's do the metta bhavana, because there might be people injured or whatever. And so they started doing the metta bhavana. So I don't know how long it was afterwards, but months, possibly a year, I don't know. Someone got in contact with her. And this person was somebody who had nearly died in the car crash. So they must have had some sort of out-of-body experience, floated up into the air, noticed this atmosphere around this car, went and looked at the number plate, remembered the number plate, wrote it down afterwards, and then found out whose car it was and said, what were you doing in that car? I mean, that is an amazing story, isn't it? That's one story. Another story is probably much more close to home. It's my story. It might be your story, but it's just discovering the practice of metta bhavana, discovering that there is such a thing as universal love, that it's in a way it's the medicine for all ills, and we can do it. You know, we can actually practice it, could even perfect it. Discovering that, you know, is a tremendous story. And that, no doubt, that happened to you and certainly happened to me. So that happened to me back in 1980. And in fact, the two people who taught me are in this room, Mangala and Surata, back in Brighton in 1980. So that's very nice. You're both here. And, you know, I was tremendously inspired. I was really, really uplifted. For me, the metta practice was... it really was like the medicine for all ills. And not just medicine, but also the inspiration for any great creative undertaking in life. I was at art college, and I wanted to know what united all artists. And I thought, well, it must be metta, you know, and... I was very, very inspired with these tremendous ideals of self-development and so forth that Bhante presented to us, and my two friends here passed down to me. So some vision arose in me. But later in life, even only 1 year later, I was very shocked to find out that vision could apparently vanish. I was quite shocked, felt quite undermined, in quite a state. And those, I think, the main cause or the main condition at the time was not getting on with somebody who I was supposed to be a good friend to. Personal relationships, you know, within the Sangha, apparently my vision could just drop out, and I was. You know, very shocked by that. I couldn't understand what happened to me. So I had something to learn. So in a way, my talk today is about having a vision and then trying to make that vision integrate into the whole of my life, try to get more of me behind that vision. So that was the beginning of the story. The next episode I want to talk about is at Vajraloka. Many years ago, I remember I was sitting there doing the metta bhavana. I had my stepfather in mind, not an easy relationship with my stepfather. And I thought, oh no, I can't possibly develop metta towards him. I'm just not capable of doing it. I felt very, very unconfident and just didn't feel like I could do it. But we were doing a lot of metta bhavana on this retreat. And at some point during a meditation, this just this big force came up inside me and decided, you are going to develop metta bhavana, you know, kind of like, damn him, damn you are going to do it. So it was as though there was a sort of moral force, or a sort of force of truth, something like that, just coming through and blowing away this sort of nasty little prapancha, niggardly little doubt that I had going on in my mind. So I recognized there are other levels, and that there was something in this idea of the path of transformation, that you know, the vision had gone at times. I didn't understand that, but then at other times there were these sort of eruptions of, as it were, something deeper coming through, maybe something more real than these, you know, these little niggardly thoughts of, oh, I can't do this, I can't do this, I can't do that. And I think one echo of that, that the inner side I still get really now sometimes, is maybe I'm sitting in a chapter meeting, or sitting in a community meeting, or something like that. And I'm sort of thinking, oh, what am I doing with these guys? And, you know, I don't know what to say. I don't feel like I fit in. Similar sort of feelings of doubt. But I know other experiences, you know, of sitting in chapters and feeling very, very at home, very moved, feeling very, yeah, very, very, very connected with others in the room. So I know, you know, I know that there are other experiences, but nonetheless the vision, the inspiration can disappear. So I do just think, what are you doing? Well, just turn up and do it, and try to let something through. You know, I mean, that experience of the metta bhavana in Vajraloka was, well, it happened because I was doing lots of metta bhavana, so there was commitment, there was a certain amount of intensity of practice, continuity of practice, and something broke through. The next episode, I think again was at Vajraloka, and there I sort of learnt something more about metta bhavana, which was like what I call sort of backseat metta, and I don't mean someone arguing while you're driving in front. I mean not gripping hold of the controls really so hard. You know, I was so, as it were, my unintegrated vision or unintegrated sort of effort was I wanted to grab hold of whatever I thought was attractive. I was sort of seeing it like an object, something to grab hold of, and I didn't really bring myself along with it. I was just going for the goal, you know, and therefore missing out on a, you know, very, very big part of myself. So I recognised that metta bhavana, I needed to, as it were, bring myself along with the practice. And that was a very, very important lesson at Vajraloka, and I'm sure it's something that, you know, probably we all teach. But anyway, I thought I'd mention it in case there are any of you still doing that grabbing method. Yeah. And then the next episode is a longer one. This one's more, in a way, to start off with, it's more like metta coming towards me. At least that's how it felt. So I was at Gukhiloka, living there for 12 years, pretty much all of that as an Anagarika. It had taken me a long way. I mean, that vision I had at the beginning of my spiritual life, it took me an awful long way. There wasn't much integration there, but it did take me an awful long way. It caused me to radically change my life. Did loads of things at Gukhiloka, but I was still, I suppose I was still grabbing and still leaving something out. So after 10, 12 years at Gukhiloka, I realised that I needed to do something else. My ideas about my spiritual life were quite negative in content. I don't necessarily mean kind of negative state of mind exactly, but then it was a bit like, don't do this, don't do that. It was like, don't have sex, don't be too busy. You know, it was all a bit framed in negative terms. And I dried up. I didn't know what I was doing there. And the phrase that came to mind was that I needed to start again. I mean, obviously, you don't start again because you've done loads of it already. You're not starting again. But that phrase was the phrase that sort of epitomized it. Something I needed to get my initiative back. I needed to feel like I was the agent, as it were, of my decisions, experience the consequences of my decisions, feel that I was at the, as in a sense, at the center of my life, taking responsibility. And I wanted that feeling of sort of starting again. So I went off to Valencia and started my little business, got married, and just got on with my life there, thinking, well, whatever happens, it's my fault. I'll just get on with it. And kept up being in a chapter, doing bits and bobs in the centre, but not for the first time, as it were, in my adult life, not full-time in Tri Ratna, which was quite a painful thing find myself not being able to participate full-time, not really believing in our system of practice, and just trying to find out who I was, I felt like I needed another perspective on my life, as it were, outside of Tri Ratna, like another mirror, something else to tell me I was all right, and I could be kind and effective and so on. So that's what I did. And what I found, that love I mentioned sort of coming towards me, was the chapter. I was in a chapter with Mokshananda, Amalamati, Vajranatha, Suratna, and others popped in and out too. But those guys just showed me over a long, quite a few years, just showed me continuous friendliness, understanding, hear me out, not lay down the law, as it were, but just be there, mature, inspired, active, very understanding. And we, just found myself warming up more and more. It's a bit like my ideas needed to have more flesh, have more backup of human warmth and experience, of friends. And it was amazing, it was an absolutely wonderful time in Valencia, and I'm, very, very grateful, because I was afraid of it happening again. I'd be afraid of jumping into a big situation and having another reaction. So that was pretty terrifying. And then when I moved to Addis Ababa, okay, see how this goes. I was quite sort of wanted to keep my options open and so on. But I had things again dried up in a different way. And in Valencia, a marriage wasn't going well, wasn't so much work coming in, and I fancied teamwork again. I fancied doing something again with other people. So I went to Addis Ababa, and it's just carried on the 5 years I've been there. Just lovely friendships, friendliness turning into, more and more friendships. The list of the Sangha of Astus comes to mind, dana, kindly speech, good works, exemplification, all those things. Just experiencing those over, 10 years. I think my crisis probably went on for about 12 years, I think. I feel like I'm somewhat partly why I'm very happy to be standing here, because I think it's ended. It's rather good news. So just many, many years of very, very positive experiences of friends. Those all those activities where metta is underneath it all, these wonderful values. And there's been a few experiences as well of joining the LBC team for 4 years running on the winter retreat has been a very, very positive experience. And also on our community retreats. Lokeshwar used this word the other day, called a relational being, sort of becoming more of a relational being. And that comes to mind, because on those retreats, they're very much based on Sangha, or very focused on Sangha, on team activities, on just doing lots of things together, really, really cooperating together. And I, at the end of those things, I find myself, loved up might be one word, just very relational. And it's not just with other people, but somehow with myself as well. There's a sort of my heart's talking to me in some way. I mean, it's significant that both those are events with women. I don't know if that's, because in a way sometimes it feels like, well, this is just the half the story, because it's, you know, you get nice things said to you and the rest of it. But I don't think it is just that. I think that can happen just with a company of men. But nonetheless, those, I think particularly those experiences of, and also the going for refuge retreats I go and do in Spain each year, I do have something of that there too, especially because I've got such good friends there. But yeah, that experience of feeling more like a relational being, so a bit less of, you know, grabbing, I'm going to do this with my life, I'm going to do it this way, have my job to do, my thing to do. It's all, and then I finish doing it and go and get a bit distracted in my room. It's this other way is more just loving the company of other people and just a lot more Maitri, I'd say, in my life. So that's pretty much all I want to say. I just wish to carry on doing that, to such an extent that, anyway, as it were, any ideas of separateness just vanish in the end. But I think an area of order practice I do appreciate a lot is just going along to things, you know, just coming to things like this. It's been great working with Alokavira in the Midlands area, trying to build up the regional order weekends. And those, although not everybody goes to those, there's a steady group. And there's that feeling of community, that feeling of just loving the guys I spend time with. There's no big reason, as it were, for doing it, but we just finding more friendship, and that's very supportive. It's a very beautiful thing. So I just want to, you know, hold up, as it were, the banner of Maitri and its importance in, you know, filling out our vision, you know, giving flesh to our vision. Thank you.